we must be aware, and actually in Geneva we enjoyed very much the work done before we started. So we continued Taba Talks, we continued Camp David. We decided, okay, we can finish the job, and we know how to finish the job, and we will make it. And we enjoyed very much the job that that were done that was done previously. But we took some decisions before we opened the negotiation, and those decisions are crucial, and they are needed also today. For example, we took the decision that the compromise on territory and borders will run between 67 and 48. This is a precondition. Up to date, no Israeli government or negotiator took such a decision. Without taking this decision, nothing will move. All the nice talks and personal, perhaps warm personal relations between Abu Mazen and Olmert will lead nowhere, unless this decision is taken. Or we decided also that Israel will have to give up sovereignty on Temple Mount and to divide Jerusalem according, including the Old City, according to President Clinton's parameter, what is Arab to Palestine, what is Jewish to Israel. Without this, nothing could move. We decided that. And we decided that in the backbone of the deal will be that those two issues Israel take, and the Palestinians will show flexibility on the right of return. This is the main principle. Without these three decisions, no breakthrough. We made also mistakes in Geneva, and I don't think that it is perfect. Any agreement will be signed between politicians, and politicians are busy with political considerations. Mostly short-run political considerations. They want to be re-elected. But having an agreement calls to have also long-run considerations, to look 30, 40, or perhaps just 20 years ahead and see, okay, once we signed, how it will look like 20 years ahead. If we compromise on this settlement or that settlement, how it will look like 20 years ahead. And try to have the best agreement for the long run, not only for the short run. Sometimes politicians don't understand that, and it may cost the both sides a high price. For example, if the sides decide to leave Maale Adumim settlement, I will show the map. No, enjoy. That's Oxford. Port Meadow in Oxford. I used to visit it almost every day when I was there. Okay. This is the... this is the Geneva... Oh, we don't have it. I have it here. What's going on? Technology. Oh. No. Okay. No. Okay. Here. Yes. This is the map of the Territorial Compromise of Geneva Initiative. You can see this is okay. The West Bank, Palestine. no settlements under Palestinian sovereignty. No settlements under Palestinian sovereignty. 67 line is the principle and the compromise. Every inch taken from 67 territories be compensated from 48 territories, up to 2% of the whole West Bank, no more than 2% of the West Bank. So continuity, of course, of the viability of a Palestinian state, of course. 2% of the West Bank taken, over which 50% of settlers reside. 50% of settlers outside Jerusalem, except Jerusalem, reside. This is the basic of the territorial compromise, and also you can see that adjacent to the border between Israel and Palestine, we exchange land here, southwest bank. This portion we suggest to have a territorial swap, and adjacent to Gaza Strip, we suggest to have a territorial swap in purpose. Why in Gaza Strip? Because Gaza is too narrow, too small for 1.5 million people, and this land is a very good land cultivated by Israeli kibbutzim and can be used by the Palestinians there. This is one consideration. The other consideration, the areas here on southwest bank, on this area we can find ruins of Palestinian villages destroyed during the 48 war by Israel, and the Palestinians can exercise there the right of return, commemorate the 48 Nakba, and so on. Symbolically, this area is very, very important, and it could serve as a part of solving the 48 refugee problem. Also, safe passage or safe road connecting Gaza Strip to the West Bank. This is vital. It will be under Israeli sovereignty, but full Palestinian free operation. Full Palestinian free operation. And this is vital because Gaza, there is no hope for Gaza Strip economically and socially without letting the people of Gaza to find jobs and income sources in the West Bank. They cannot find it in Sinai. Israel is unhappy to let them in, and they can, if there is a Palestinian state, viable Palestinian state, territorial continuity, no roadblocks, no settlements left inside Palestine, no security zones, no Israeli soldiers on the outside borders. All of these are included in Geneva model. Then, only then, a Palestinian state can be viable, can attract tourists, and tourism is the immediate source of incomes for Palestinians, and also the boom in construction and building new houses, because the Palestinians need that, especially around Jerusalem, around Arab Jerusalem. So people of Gaza can go and find jobs there. Unless there is a final status agreement and no Israeli settlement and soldiers in Palestine, I do not see the Israeli administration agreeing for safe passage, to provide the Palestinians safe passage, and Gaza will remain a problem. Just remind you, this is the reason, in my view, why Condoleezza Rice failed to convince the Israelis to open the safe passage, although she insisted, and the Israelis promised, and so on, but it did not happen. So there is a deep contradiction between operating the safe passage on the one hand, and on the other hand, as Condoleezza Rice still believe in conflict management and conflict containment, and not going for conflict resolution. That's it. So she decided to give up the safe passage in favor of conflict management. This is the Bush administration strategy, which cannot work and did not work. So this is on territory, the principles that we agreed. Most of the settlers reside near the State of Israel, near the 49 armistice lines. and we suggest to annex 2% only, Arab Jerusalem included in the calculation of the territory. As I said, 67 territories. The annexed Arab Jerusalem territory is included in the calculation of land swap and territorial compensation. We'll go to the old city. Oh, that says in Hebrew. I will find the English map of old city here. Regarding the old city of Jerusalem, the old city, according to our proposal, will remain open, but sovereignty divided. Sovereignty divided differently than President Clinton suggested in Camp David and after. But we suggest to implement President Clinton principle also inside the old city. So you can see the Jewish quarter under Israeli sovereignty, and here this is, and these areas will be under Israeli sovereignty. And the state of Palestine will have sovereignty over the Muslim, Christian, and Armenian quarter. Temple Mount under full Palestinian sovereignty, the Wailing Wall under full Israeli sovereignty. The control on passports will be done by the relevant authorities, Israeli and Palestinian, on the exit from the old city. The old city will remain open, so anyone who enters to the old city can move freely between the sovereign areas, and he or she have to show the relevant document when he or she comes out, exit from the old city. So if I enter the old city through Jaffa Gate, that will be operated by Israel and looks towards connected to Israeli sovereign territory, I will use the rapid track and don't have to show visa or something. But if a Palestinian wants to get out from the old city through Jaffa Gate, he or she has to show the relevant document, could be passport or any other travel document. The same happens if I would like to go out through Damascus Gate. International forces, peacekeeping forces, will be in the old city and patrolling with Israeli and Palestinian policemen in areas of interaction. And the areas of interaction are very, very limited. So in the old city, assuming that, but also the old city itself is 1 square kilometer, so that's not a big problem. Regarding the Jewish cemetery of Mount of Olives, it will be under Palestinian sovereignty, operated fully in a free way, and including security by Israel. So security of the place will be Israeli, operation full Israeli. The connection shuttle will go from the Israeli sovereign area in the Dung Gate. We suggested to have it in the Dung Gate. A shuttle will take the people visiting the cemetery to the Mount of Olives. The same arrangement we suggest to have on Mount Zion Christian Cemetery. Palestinian shuttle will take the people there, because why we suggest this? Because we cannot build a special road for cemetery visitors, and actually, hopefully, not so many people use cemeteries on a daily basis, but we have on adjacent to the cemeteries living neighborhoods, and the interest of living people is more important for us than the interest of the buried and the dead people. Regarding the refugees, we suggested to have the following arrangement. which is very practical and trying to neutralize the emotions and the debate that are connected to. Perhaps it's not the best arrangement, but it's worth considering it. Instead of using the term right of return, we suggest to translate it these terms to practical terms, which is choosing the permanent place of residency. That's it. So what does it mean to return? Is choosing to reside permanently here and not there, because up to now I was temporarily here. I was hosted by U.S., Canada, Lebanon, and whatsoever. So following Clinton parameter of having five options and suggesting five options for any refugee, so we suggest, okay, this process, we call it choosing the permanent place of residency. Each refugee will pick up one option. Within 5 years, he or she must take a decision. After 5 years, no refugees left a status, enjoying a status. In the state of mind, they can remain forever refugees. They can have the claim to have the right to return forever. Status, recognized status of refugees, stop to exist after 5 years. No institution that takes this claim will exist after 5 years. Therefore, we want to achieve end of claims between Israel and Palestine. So we will not claim to go back to Hebron, and the Palestinians will not claim going back to Jaffa or Acre.